Hello, this is Chris Yerkes. I'm reading to you from the April 26th edition of the Journal, and we'll start with the front page stories. School Board Approves Contract with TESPA by Dominic Stallings. The Tuscola School Board approved the contract with Tuscola Educational Support Professionals Association, TESPA, at its April 24th school board meeting. In a prepared statement, TESPA President Catherine Berlew said, "We would like to thank the countless community members, parents, and teachers for their support. As paraprofessionals, we believe it is an honor and a privilege to work with our students, oftentimes the students most vulnerable. We hold ourselves to the highest standards to provide our students with the support they need and deserve. Our working conditions are our students' learning conditions. We look forward to working with our district, parents, and community members in the future to continue to put our students first. It was a startup contract, and the process takes a while. It took over a year, but I believe it is a fair contract," said Superintendent Gary Alexander. The 27-page document outlines employee compensation, health insurance, holiday pay, and sick leave, as well as other considerations. Tuscola paraprofessionals will receive hourly wages based on years of experience. Employees with 1 year of experience will receive $14.86 per hour, going up to $15.61 after 5 years, then $17.11 after 10 years, $18.36 after 15, and $19.61 after 20 years. Employees will receive 3% raises for each school year until the contract expires in 2025. Employees with more than 21 years of experience move off the schedule. Those employees will receive a 4% raise in 2023-24 and a 4% raise in 2024-25. The board will pay paraprofessionals' individual health insurance premium as follows. December 2022, December 2023 inclusive. The board shall pay $569 per month health insurance premium to the carrier plus a board contribution not to exceed $891.96 annually to the paraprofessional to offset the deductible increase as set forth below. Paraprofessionals who take the district's insurance shall no longer have a deduction toward their health insurance premium taken out of their paycheck for the amount of $53.05 per pay. This will assist in offsetting the increase in the deductible of the health plan, previously $600, now $2,500. The board's contribution not to exceed $891.96 annually to the paraprofessional for accrued deductible expenses or dependent coverage shall be distributed quarterly. Individual employees may have set up personal health savings accounts, HSA, in which the district will make quarterly deposits to paraprofessionals who receive health insurance through the district. The employee must set up the HSA account and provide the district with the financial information necessary to make deposits no later than April 28th. Paraprofessionals will receive 14 sick days per school year and 2 personal leave days. TESPA Secretary Kim Martin and TESPA Secretary Rachel Haste, who are both on the negotiating team, both said, "We are grateful that we had the opportunity to work with the Tuscola School Board and come to an agreement on our contract. It's our first contract. It is a huge accomplishment, and we look forward to continuing to work with the school board and move forward with the students and the school. We're pretty pleased with what we have, and we are pleased with the contract. We are thankful for the board's time and effort, too." In other news, 3 board members were installed after being reelected. Darrell Spillman, Bob Devlin, and Chris Reynolds. Tuscola School Board installed Gary Alexander as pro-term president and Darrell Spillman as the pro-term secretary during the reorganization meeting held prior to the regular meeting Monday. Devlin was elected the board president, Jesse Young was elected vice president, and Spillman was elected secretary. 2 seats are still to be filled on the school board. The board will take applications and interview candidates for the positions as they have previously. The board did not yet set a date to conduct interviews. Brad Ingram thanked the board after attending his final school board meeting. "I feel like when I started 4 years ago to the point where we are now, we've come a long way. We've made a lot of changes. We've made a lot of moves. Some of them have been harder than others, and most of them have been to the benefit of the school district and all of the kids," said Ingram. Alexander said he received a census from the county clerk's office. Township 16 NA East has a population percentage of 76%, meaning we'll have 4 representatives while every other township will have 3. The school board discussed the blueprints for the new auditorium in the high school. In the newest plans, the stage extension has been made permanent and stairs leading to the stage will be movable. The board noted that having the stairs fixed in place would bring in more requirements for ADA compliance. They discussed the sound booth in the back of the auditorium and weighed the pros and cons of having the booth become elevated to fit potentially more seats. They also discussed stairs leading to the booth as well. The current auditorium shared with a cafeteria fits roughly 175 to 200 people, while the new construction would fit 269 movable seats. However, Alexander noted that none of the discussed plans will be final yet. However, the goal is to have everyone happy with the plans so far. The cafeteria is being relocated to the former industrial arts shop. The school board approved the IESA membership, which costs $1,060. The school board approved the intergovernmental agreement with Education for Employment No. 330, which has received small changes in its update. The school board approved and accepted the resignations of Nolan Waller as the 7th grade boys basketball coach and Lydia Miller as the 8th grade and TCHS basketball coach. Athletic Director Ryan Hornaday was listed on the agenda to resign as TCHS Athletic Director. However, the board did not accept or mention a resignation from Hornaday as Athletic Director in the meeting. The school board approved Mark Sweeney's retirement at the end of 2025-26 school year. The school board approved the 2023-2024 coaches list and approved Haley Sappenfield as the TCHS dance coach. North Ward Elementary School Principal Jason Wallace said students will participate in the Tiger Trot and the Special Olympics Young Athletes with Kindergarten program on May 5th. In his report, Wallace found that the pre-K screenings went well. Texas Roundhouse will host a dine to donate on May 9th. Field Day will take place on North Ward on May 12th with a rain date on May 19th. Wallace noted that the kindergartner went to the Douglas Hart Nature Center on April 27th, while pre-K will visit on May 1st. The first grade will travel to Scoville Zoo on May 9th, and the fourth grade will visit Shedd Aquarium on May 22nd. For the Special Olympics, Noah Southwort earned a gold medal in the 25-meter freestyle swimming earlier in April and will compete in the 50-mile run in softball at the Spring Games on April 28th. The parent-teacher organization, PTO, paid for a bus to bring Southworth's entire class to watch him play. PTO Book Fair will take place May 8th through 12th, including the evening of May 11th. Third and fourth grade music program is set for May 11th at 2:30 p.m. and 6 p.m. Park days were scheduled for May 23rd to 26th, and rain days were scheduled as well. Wallace congratulated Michael Reynolds and the Owen Lowers for being selected by North Ward staff as representatives for the North Ward at the IPA breakfast on May 9th at the I Hotel. Wallace also thanked all the paraprofessionals, teachers, Aramark staff, and substitute teachers at North Ward for their work and flexibility. Jared Van Osdahl thanked everyone who helped at his year's tracks meet. The IAR has been completed as well as the science assessments. Van Osdahl thanked Angie Gao for managing the test as well as the staff and students. EP Scholastic Bowl will compete in regionals on April 29th at Mahomet. The first match will be at 4:30 p.m. Eighth grade promotion will take place on May 26th at 7 p.m. at TCHS. Van Osdahl minted all board members to attend. The spring music concert will take place on May 7th at TCHS. EP yearbooks have been distributed. Van Osdahl thanked the yearbook staff and Mrs. Logan for their work with the publication. EP Science Club went on a trip to Starkel Planetarium and Lake of the Woods on April 27th. Alexander congratulated Jackson Barrett, who broke the school record for running 300 meters in 9.15 at the Palatine meet. He noted that the record would have won state last year. Alexander also congratulated Josiah Horton, who also had a good performance at the Palatine meet. Alexander thanked Mr. Buzark for the productive SAT testing, which he described as productive. Alexander also noted that Tuscola received second place in agriculture and third place in botany in the organized Illinois Science Assessment. Alexander also gave a reminder that Honors Day takes place on May 19th, during which scholarships are handed out to TCHS seniors. Graduation for TCHS will take place on May 27th. Another article, Tuscola City Council Passes the 2024 Budget, by David Porter. The Tuscola City Council passed its budget for 2024 Monday night with little fanfare. There were no changes from the previous meeting and no public comment. The general fund budget shows deficit spending of $2.3 million, largely due to planned capital improvements, which include a new fire station and remodeled police station, as well as a new street shed. It was noted previously that the city has funds on hand to pay for the expenses, so no additional taxes are anticipated. The city will start the year with an estimated $4 million surplus in its operating fund, and despite the planned improvements, is expected to end fiscal year 2024 with $1.8 million surplus. As usual, the city budgets high on expenses and low on income. The 2023 budget reflects with income estimated to end up nearly $440,000 higher than was budgeted and expenses to finish the year $2.1 million under budget. Last year's budget projected a $1.2 million loss, but is now expected to end with a $1.3 million gain. The water budgeted income for 2024 is expected to nearly double from 2023, largely due to the expected Illinois EPA loan of $1.1 million. There was also a rate increase that roamed into effect in March, which is expected to add about $215,000 to the revenue side. Expenses for the water department are also budgeted a little more than $1 million higher, mostly due to capital improvements, including water line replacements in the Meadowview subdivision. The sewer department revenue is budgeted with only a slight increase to $5,450, despite a small rate decrease. Interest income accounts for the change. Expenditures for the sewer department, however, are projected to increase by $170,000 over the previous year's budget, mostly due to capital outlay. The motor fuel tax budget is higher for 2024 by nearly $1 million due to expected engineering costs for the city's next road project, South Washington, Park Street, and North Central Avenue. In other business, the council waived former bidding and approved hiring cross-construction for emergency repairs on U.S. Route 36 near Niles Avenue. Drew Hole, city administrator, said he expects the repairs to exceed $19,000, which was the cost of recent repairs on Carrico Street, but not significantly more. The work was needed to replace a valve that served an abandoned water line. The new valve does not feed that line. City fireman Denny Cruzan said three of the four bolts securing the valve had rusted completely off. If the fourth one went, the whole town would have gone dry, he said. Hole said he hoped to delay the work until the next fiscal year, but the work couldn't wait. It is now done, and the closed lane on US 36 will be opening back up in the next day or two after the new concrete cures. Holding a private pool party this summer will cost more than last year. The council raised the rate from $125 to $200 for a two-hour rental for up to 50 people. Treasurer Alta Long said last year's rate did not cover the personnel costs associated with the pool party. The rates for daily and season passes did not change. Mayor Dan Kleiss said the pool will still lose money. For 2024, pool expenses were budgeted at $145,000 against anticipated revenue of $63,900. Following a closed session, the council hired Dalton Donalds as patrol officer at a wage of $27.70. Donalds is also a city fireman and was promoted to lieutenant there. Brooke Ray was promoted to fire prevention coordinator at the fire department, and three new fighters were approved. They are Cahill, Dick Sedera, Brad Donalds, and Kyle Stewart. The council also approved a list of 45 summer workers, including two part-time people that Hole said will be helpful to fill the void left by Rob Geiler, who retired after more than 45 years of service. Kleiss said Geiler doesn't like the limelight, but thanked him for his many years of service. Also Monday, Mayor Kleiss said the National Day of Prayer will be observed at 12 noon Thursday, May 4th at 40 Martyrs Catholic Church. The public is invited. Approval was given for a special use permit to Adenium Solar for a solar project at 1298 Egyptian Trail following changes recommended by the Planning Commission. Paul Bottom of Cultivate Power, which is building the project, said the company agreed to a wider setback from the Southland Acres subdivision. He said construction is expected to start in 2024. Kleiss jokingly asked if the goats would be used to keep weeds down, and Bottom said the company would do that if that's what the community wants. He clarified later that sheep, not goats, could be used. Goats eat cables, he said. There are no current plans to use livestock for grazing there, and Bottom said one would need to take that under consideration when deciding what type of vegetation to plant. He added that he thinks that due to the vegetation management, the soil will be even better for farming after the solar project expires. Alderman Tom Hoy said it looked like the solar company did everything it could to try to satisfy everyone with the project. The council approved a payment of $21,867 to Donahue of Champaign for master meter station engineering. The council approved a payment of $15,880 to Clark Dietz of Champaign for phase two engineering on downtown alley improvements. A payment of $74,900 to Ezel Excavating was approved for the demolition of the former Castle Mall on South Main Street. The former Presbyterian church burned last summer. City Attorney Andrew Barquette said he wanted to publicly congratulate Kate Watson for appointment as circuit judge. Barquette also applied for the position. He said he plans to remain active in the county and looks forward to continuing to serve as city attorney. He added that he loves the community here. The council approved the annual list of boards and commission appointments. Kleiss said there were no changes. The council approved closing part of Van Allen Street all summer during renovations of the high school. The south parking lot, which includes the east end of Van Allen, will be closed. The city approved the annual write-offs of delinquent water and sewage bills. Long said the debts are not discharged, but the city will stop sending notices. If the people owing money return to the city and seek water and sewage service, they must pay the amount in arrears. Another first-page story, Women's Club organizes Walk for Awareness by Dominic Stallings. You might have seen the blue pinwheels lined outside of several institutions across the state. They're placed each April to bring awareness to domestic violence and child abuse and provide support for those who need it. The Tuscola Women's Club is hosting their awareness walk April 29th. They will gather in Irvin Park at 9:30 a.m. and leave at 10 a.m. The walk will go down the center of downtown Tuscola and then loop back around. The walk is important. It's awareness, making people and kids aware of some of this child abuse and violence that takes place and that takes place in other places, said Darla Gardner, former club president. The juniorettes and gentlemen, high school branch of the Women's Club, were invited by the Women's Club to join in the walk. The middle school JETS club were also invited to come and show their support. According to Gardner, the juniorettes and gentlemen are the only high school women's club in the state which includes boys. Gardner says she thinks it's important to include everyone in the Women's Club nowadays. The high school club meets monthly and invites guest speakers during the lunch hour, such as Aikman Wildlife from Arcola, the Honor the Chief Society, or other influential figures in the community. Gardner said students in the high school and middle school clubs often participate in projects that help teach kids to take care of each other and the environment. They've made spirit signs, bird feeders, made breakfast for Tuscola teaching staff, and many other events for the school and community. The Women's Club hands out a $1,000 scholarship each year with the money collected from the Women's Club events, such as the house walk during the holiday season. Gardner said the club helps students attend summer camps, especially those focused on the visual arts. Kids are the future of our club. We are very proud of them, said Gardner. And the last front page story, Lincoln's Challenge Offers Alternative for Education by Tony Hooker. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, someone with a high school diploma will earn on average $200 to $250 more per week than someone who doesn't graduate. Still, for some, high school completion isn't an option. Disciplinary issues and financial and family situations can lead to student dropout regardless of potential long-term consequences. For these reasons, the Lincoln Challenge Academy came to be in 1993. For those reasons, and because high school isn't for everyone, even right here in Douglas County, I arranged a visit with Sven Gosnell, former Marine Corps major who is LCA's chief of staff. Where do your cadets come from? Most of the cadets are coming from underserved academic areas. The program as it is exists now is different than it was 30 years ago. Most of our summer cadre will come from us from Cook and other collar counties, while most of our winter cadres seem to be spread across the entire state. Did the LCA start as a diversity program? Not really. Under our National Guard Bureau regulations, any student that comes to the academy cannot have charges pending. Sometimes we get students who are told that if they complete the program, their charges will be vacated, but if they fall out here, we call back to their state's attorneys. We're not going to take a young man or woman who is coming out of prison or a juvenile detention facility. We can't take them if they've had a felony. When the program started, it was almost 100% GED. Now we're at about 50% GED and 50% high school reintegration, and we actually do graduate a few graduates every class who finish their high school diploma. Is it more for students who are struggling with school rather than with the legal system? Yes, that's the intent. We have seen, especially recently, high school students who should be juniors have never even stepped a foot in the high school. COVID struck and everything stopped. They may have come from homes where the parents were struggling simply to get by and there was no one at home to watch and guide them. Here they are at 17 or 18 years of age and they have 6 high school credits or less. Our biggest challenges seem to be with math. Our math on the GED is where we have the most struggles with our students. Where are you from? I'm originally from Los Angeles. Wow, this is a little different from that, right? I spent 21 years in the Marine Corps. My wife was a Navy brat growing up. Her dad retired out of the Great Lakes in 1990. We met in Newport, Rhode Island at an officer commissioning pipeline event and started dating. I chose to go to Marquette University for my commissioning program, and she went to the Naval Academy for a couple of years before deciding it wasn't right for her. We got married in 1997, and I've drug her around the world. We lived in Washington, D.C. from 2010 till 2020. We moved here in March of 2020. Do you ever push boots when you were in the Marines? No, I was never a drill instructor. I started out as an enlisted mortarman and became a staff sergeant before I was commissioned. My options for my BBillet were to either recruit, training, or go to MESEP, the Marine Enlisted College Education Program, so I decided to do that. I never had any desire to go to university, but I looked around and decided that I could make decisions that were just as good as those in charge, so I decided to put my money where my mouth was and got commissioned. Is there a difference in commanding troops and commanding these cadets? Oh, absolutely. I retired as a major and I had two commands, one in Iraq and one in Afghanistan. On the active duty side, we have the Uniform Code of Military Justice. I don't have that here. Additionally, cadets are here on their own free will, so if they decide they want to leave, they want to quit, they can move on, drop on request. Motivation factors are different. Because we don't have a draft, those who are on active duty have a much higher motivation level. You find out after a couple of weeks in the program that there are many young men and women parents had pressured them to come here. Sometimes it's go here or leave home. What are you going to do at that point? So we end up with a lot of young men and women like that, and believe it or not, they do fairly well because they've got something to lose. During the interview process, we talk to the young man and woman alone, and we tell them that if you're coming here to please someone else, you might not do too well, but if you're coming here for yourself, we have a lot to offer. It's going to be discipline and military structure. They're usually up at around 5 a.m. in the morning to do their morning hygiene. Get them out no later than about 5:45 for PT, and they're back in about 6:30 to wash up, and then they'll go to chow. They eat chow as a team here, and at 8 o'clock a.m. they go to academics. Everyone here is in academics from 8 a.m. till noon, whether it's a GED prep or credit recovery. I teach GED history as well as U.S. history for credit recovery. Our deputy director teaches math for the GED side, but we're now streamlined compared to other schools. We're going to offer the basics, reading, writing, math, and social sciences, and hard sciences as well. How does the vocational piece fit into that? The vocational piece is relatively new. The idea there, especially for the GED cadets, is to offer them a skill set so when they graduate, they can have a job they can start immediately. Vocationally, we're trying to find areas that are compatible with what the needs of society are, so CNA, EMS, HVAC, welding, things like that. Skills that will immediately make money but also have the potential for growth. We try to schedule vocational class time for the afternoon so that we can free up the educational piece for the entire day. If we have students who are gun decking, or for lack of better term, we won't allow them to go vocation. Why should we allow them to do what they want to do when they're not done with what they need to do? I've had many conversations with young men and women about the fact that just because you have a vocation doesn't mean that if you don't get your GED, you're probably going to tap out at a minimum wage for the rest of your life. So if I'm going to really change your socioeconomic status for the future, let's finish the GED or high school recovery. With the GED, you can work with the ICCB and get a scholarship to continue your vocational training to earn certification. You can get an entry-level certification in HVAC, but you're only getting 3 credits for a semester of welding. The ICCB is going to give you a $4,000 to $1,000 a semester for 4 semesters to cover that opportunity. We have military recruiters who come in from all the service branches. We don't get as many who choose the military route. It's probably a result of where we're now at as a society right now. It's not a slight at anybody, but some of these men and women would not do well in the military. We also offer a driver's education piece, both in the classroom and behind the wheel. And with this class, we started an automotive tech program with Parkland. Parkland's been a great partner for us. Parkland's involvement is kind of what drew me to this. I know that there are young people in Douglas County who are struggling and may not even be aware of this opportunity. It's rigorous for most of these young men and women because they come from all over, but just don't fit in their modern school model. The traditional model utilized repetition, whereas the modern model uses computers, and a lot of these men and women just don't fit that. What is the time frame for applying? What we do here is our program is 5.5 months in residency and 1 year in post-residency. If a candidate comes here for his or her GED and doesn't earn it while they're in residency, we will pay for retests for the 12 months post-residency. We don't just quit on them. We ask for them to have a mentor when they come in, someone they can trust and who will keep them accountable. Many of our cadets will form a relationship with a staff member while they're here, not in a weird way, but as someone they can look up to. I coach rugby and softball here, and former cadets will call me and ask if I know if there are any rugby matches coming up. What we're trying to do here is make a difference and let them know their worth. We provide 3 meals a day. We provide them with hot showers, personal hygiene supplies at no cost to them. The entire program is at no cost to the family. It costs the state about $28,000 per cadet, but I think it's well worth it because many of these cadets were headed down a path that would lead them to a life of prison or having some sort of dependence on the state, and we don't want that. We We don't want people to be dependent on the state. We want the state to depend on its people. Who is a prime candidate for LCA? Prime candidate number one needs to have an attitude to want to change their life. We can take any young man or woman who has hit hard times in life and we can work with them if they want to change their life. I was a high school dropout for a year and this program didn't exist back then. I would have been a prime candidate for this program, trying to change my life and learn a different way because there is no discipline or structure in my home. My mom felt overwhelmed and didn't care enough to be involved in those sorts of things. That's going to be the key. We want someone who wants to change their life. There's no height and weight limit. There's no body type preference. There's no kid who's perfect cadet because they only need 5 credits to graduate. The perfect cadet is a kid who comes here wanting to change their life. If they really, truly don't want that, then there's not much we're going to be able to offer. The military discipline and lifestyle that we provide here for 5.5 months isn't for everyone, but I think every kid should try it to at least understand is a different way. Getting up and making your bed first thing every day may suck sometimes, but it's what you have to do, and it's the one thing you can look back on and say, at least I made my bed this morning, or at least my wall locker was locked, or at least I made it to class on time. It might be because they marched me over there, but I made it. Maybe I paid attention in class and learned a new word today. If they're willing to do that, they are a perfect candidate. We'll move now to the obituaries. J. Schreiber, 88, of Villa Grove, passed away on Sunday, April 16, 2023, at his home. A celebration of J.'s life will be held from 1 to 3 p.m. on Sunday, June 11, 2023, at the Tri-City Country Club in Villa Grove. Memorial donations may be made to the Douglas County Animal Shelter. Ray Shunk, 86, of Tuscola, formerly of Villa Grove and Arthur, passed away Saturday, April 22, 2023, at Brookstone Estates in Tuscola. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. Friday, April 28th at Hillegas Schrader Funeral Home, 705 South Main Street, Tuscola. Interment will be at the Camargo Cemetery with military graveside rites accorded. Visitation will be held 1 hour prior to the service at the funeral home. Catherine M. Katie Ruggles, 44, of Tuscola, passed away suddenly on Wednesday morning, April 19th, 2023, at her residence. Visitation was held Sunday, April 23rd at Hillegas Schrader Funeral Home, Tuscola, and prior to the service at the church. Memorials are suggested by the Douglas Ruggles Education Fund. Daniel D. Chambers, 95, of Pearson Station, passed away at 10:30 p.m. Tuesday, April 18, 2023, his 95th birthday at the Tuscola Health Center in Tuscola. Private family services will be held. L.C.J. Kaufman Yoder, 94, of Arcola, passed away at 5:50 p.m. on Saturday, April 15, 2023, at her residence. Funeral services were held Tuesday, April 18th, at the Benny Schrock residence, rural Arcola. Bishop David J. Otto officiated. Burial was at the Otto Cemetery in rural Arthur. Visitation was held Sunday, April 16th, and Monday, April 17th, at Benny Schrock's residence. Edward Funeral Home assisted with arrangements. Richard Lee Ike, 79, of Tuscola, formerly of Lima, Ohio, passed away on April 16, 2023, in Charleston. Private graveside services and burial will be held in Shawnee Cemetery in Lima, Ohio. In lieu of flowers and plants, memorials and donations can be made to either the family or to Shawnee Band Boosters, care of Shawnee High School in Lima, Ohio. Douglas County Circuit Judge Appointment. The public is cordially invited to attend a swearing-in ceremony for the newly appointed Circuit Judge Kate Watson, Douglas County, in the 6th Judicial District. This event will be held at the Douglas County Courthouse in Courtroom 1 on Tuesday, May 2, 2023 at 4 p.m. Illinois Supreme Court Justice David Overstreet will administer the oath of office. A reception will immediately follow the program. Everyone is welcome to attend this event. Emma Carolyn Bratton Noyce has been selected as the Villa Grove High School Senior of the Month for April 2023. Congratulations, Emma. A committed student and volunteer, Emma's been a member of the softball team, student council, National Honor Society, and the yearbook staff. She's volunteered at Sam's Food Pantry in Tuscola and at special occasions event at local nursing's home. In addition, she's began working at Arcola Healthcare as a CNA. And that is about all the time we have for this week. This is Chris Yerke saying goodbye and see you next week.